Okay, Gedvach, it's Maitzi Shabbos, Pashas Miketz. And we're on the top of Samach Tes, about to finish the eighth parak. Couple of lines. Okay, so it says if you heat it up a bathhouse with straw, and the straw had Kedusha Shvius, so you're really not supposed to do that, right? If you did do it, the Mishnah, I think, said that if you're not a Mechashev, that you shouldn't use it. But a regular person could use it, right? That's what it seems to say. So a regular person could use it, Mechashev person can't use it. The Mishnah makes the following statement. Hadorah Tamar be'ilein dumasya. These are public bathhouses that you have this distinction. Baram be'ilein privata, if it sounds like private, privata. Private bathhouses, so that's reserved for respected people. Also, then you cannot breathe in them. So what's going on over here? So first of all, the pshat is that the private places, what they do is they'll put in some kind of special spices into the water to give the water a certain aroma.
Those spices are
shvius, right? And we don't want to encourage this behavior, so therefore no one can use those private ones. That's what how some people learn. I'm just going to learn that simple shot. There's all kinds of different mahalchim here. Then it says in Mischashev who, if he's a respected person, that's one way to learn it. The Gra has another way of learning it, that if you make cheshbainus, meaning that I can't. When are we talking about before we're using it for free? But if you're going to charge money for it, then you have a different problem of la'achlo l'schayra, that you're using, you're getting a benefit out of it. But in Mischashev, the simple pshat over here is that if you're a respected person, hareza lo yirchot, you should not bathe in it, because people, I mean, this is a quote of the Mishnah. Adam shal tzura, if he's a man of stature, hareza lo yirchot. Oh yeah, so let me back up. Let me back up a second. So based on what I just said just to you before, that they're going to put in spices, they're not just putting spices for any old person. Just because you went through Daf Yomi doesn't mean they're going to put spices. They put in spices for people who are very wealthy. So Mischashev could mean Choshev, they're Choshev in the sense that they're wealthy. Or it could mean Anshei Tzura, which means a Tamid Chachamim.
Tzura and Mischashev can describe the same person.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're chashev, based on the Gemara and Kiddushin, that a person says harant mukudeshes li, with a hahihano, that I accept a gift from you. In other words, he tells the woman, "You give me a gift," and because I'm an adam chashev, so you get a hano, you get from my receiving the gift. With that, you should become mukudeshes. It's mukudeshes. That's the Gemara. So you see, an adam chashev, just his mere presence adds a certain hanah to it, and that could be why it says on Choshvu that it's usher even if there's no charge.
Yeah, the lashon is in Adam shal tzura.
Yeah.
If the Gemara wanted to say Adam Choshvu, it's already using Adam shal tzura. It should have said Adam.
Right.
The fact that it doesn't use the Adam lashon makes it sound like maybe it's not that.
Yeah. True enough.
Right. That's what he says in number three.
Yeah. Okay. Like this example, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi azal min Lod lebeis Gavrin begin mischei. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi went from Lod, in other words, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi lived in Lod. People knew him in Lod, and they obviously were aware of his chashivas. And as a result of that chashivas, he avoided going to the local place, which was apparently heated up with his straw, but he would go someplace else. He went to Beis Gavrin, where they didn't know him, begin mischei in order to bathe. So you see an example of this. Just all doing is give an example of someone chashev going out of town where they wouldn't recognize him. Okay.
What benefit of
what
does it have to do with shvius, or just tells you about a
hanhaga? That's the one. This exactly proves our previous point, right?
That went there so they wouldn't know him, so they wouldn't do anything different in the heating of the water.
Correct. It's also possible the Beis Gavrin did not, was outside Eretz Yisrael didn't have any Shvias Kedusha altogether. So there's nothing wrong with heating the bathhouse there. It's not clear exactly what the milah of going there was. It could be.
It doesn't say either whether it was a private or a public.
Right. Yeah. The main thing is that he avoided going locally. Rav Shimon Lakish have a Bebeitzra, so he was in Botzra. Chamsa Mazalfin Lahadar Aphrodite. So there was Aphrodite. Everybody knows that, you know, from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, that it was frequent that they would have Aphrodites, I think is the Greek goddess of love or something like that. And they would have that obviously there by the bathhouses, which, you know, people were making themselves nice and to smell nice for their spouses. So it was appropriate to put people in the mood. Now that the Gemara says beferish is no problem going into those bathhouses because the bathhouses were there first, and Aphrodite was put there second. They aren't there. They weren't. Those bathhouses were not created for the Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah is just put up there, but therefore the bathhouses are mutter. Now in this particular example, they're going ahead and they're actually
pouring
wine, or they're putting in something in there. They're doing
into the water.
Into the water. So that's his problem. So Rabbi Shlakish is saying, "I'm in line. Less aser, isn't it aser to bathe here?" So Asar Shalom Rabbi Yochanan. They came and asked Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, whenever Shlakish is asking problem, making problems, who do they go to? Let's go ask Rabbi Yochanan because he knows better. So I'm like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon ben Yitzchak in davar shal rabim aser. They can't aser it because it's not theirs. It's Einon Moshe Dover Shana Shalor. This is a public property. And just because they decide to do something doesn't mean we have to worry about it. That's basically the Gemara.
And the they is the one they are the ones that were pouring the water.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Not the ownership of the
bear. No, the people who are doing some kind of avoda to the Avodah Zarah. That's what it seems to say. Yeah. Okay, Hadron Allah called Godel. Okay, now we're going to start a new parak. There's a large introduction in the art scroll. I'm going to summarize some of it because it's very important. And also, it lays the groundwork for a lot of stuff. So you can't just skip over this introduction. So in case you didn't read it, did anybody read it, by the way? Okay, no, nobody read it. Okay, so let me tell you. Let me tell you right now a little bit about this introduction. The introduction, we could go into the details of it. It could literally take us the rest of a good part of a half hour. So we're not going to do that, of course.
We're going for an hour tonight.
Yeah, we're going for an hour. So we're talking about a Svichin. We've mentioned Svichin many times in this Masechta. Let's try to approach it as if we don't know anything about Svichin, because there's lots of new material being introduced here, so I don't want to. You know, you may have some preconceived notions. What I'm about to say may shock you, and I'm just preparing you so you shouldn't have like a heart attack or chas v'shalom. You know what I'm saying? So there's a Taurus Kohanim where there's a Machlokes Tanoim between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. We've been saying the whole Masechta that Svichin is the Rambanan. That's because that's the Shita of the Chachamim, and the Rambam passes like the Chachamim. But Rabbi Akiva holds Svichin is actually an Isser D'Oraisa. You know what he does? He takes a look at the pasuk. Heilun is ra. Right? That's what the people said. We're not going to plant, and we're not going to collect food. So what are we going to eat in the eighth year, right? So the Rambam Shalom says, it's V.C.S. Brochasi, the famous answer, that I'm going to be Mavarach the sixth year, and you'll have enough for 3 years. Okay. Now, Rabbi Kiva makes a diak in the Pasuk. What are you talking, lo ne'asof? Why are you saying lo ne'asof? If you're not going to plant, obviously there's not going to be anything to collect. Why bother with that extra word in the itself? There's no extra words. In other words, you can normally say, okay, these are people talking, let's not be medayik in every little detail, but that's not the way Rekiv approaches it. We will not plant, and we will not collect any food. What food? You didn't plant. Of course you can't collect food. Teretz is, Svichim. That it's possible to have things that grow from the sixth year they fell down during the... that they grew in the wild growth. Either way, whatever it is, it's something which could happen, even though there was no planting. Nevertheless, lo nasof, we can't collect either. So you see, the Torah is being merames to us and Isser on Svichim. So you see the Isser Svichim is Dioraisa. That's Rabbi Kiva's position. Okay? And the Chachamim hold no, that says that it's only Drabbanon. They have a different pasuk that they dash in. And what do they do with the pasuk of Rabbi Kiva? Whatever, we're not going to get into that. If you're interested, you could go ahead and look in footnote 2 in the introduction. He describes what the Chachamim do with Rabbi Kiva's pasuk and Rabbi Kiva does with the Chachamim's pasuk. For now, that's enough. Okay, so that's number one. The decree of Svichim does not apply to trees, to fruit trees, because according to either Shita. Why? Because either Lo Nizra, the Lo Nesof, that we're saying they will not plant. Now, you don't plant fruit trees on the eve of Shvias and expect to get any fruit out of it. So it's totally not negated there. And
fruits that grow in Shvias are from prah.
It's from years ago. So it's not. So since it says Lanizra, so it's only talking about things that are planted. Also, similarly, it's growing naturally. So the whole Chacham Gzeira won't apply to that. Also, be aware that if something is only grows wild, is never domesticated, it's just wild growth, and you only find it out in the wild, also no Issur Svichim to that, because there's no problem. People are going to say, oh, that he went ahead and planted it. Nobody plants it. So if it's wild only, it won't apply if it's growing in certain areas, such as it won't if you have a newly fresh plowed plot of land. If you have a vineyard where if it grows there, it's going to become also because of Kalayim. In those kind of cases, also apparently doesn't apply. Okay, so there are exceptions to the rule. Just be aware of that. And then it talks about beer. Okay, we're not going to go about the beer. So now let's start the Mishnah. Beer is later in the park. Well, let's not discuss that now. So let's discuss the Mishnah now. So now the Mishnah says, there's a bunch of, there's three examples over here of fruit, well, not fruit, of growth, of wild plants that are generally deemed to be ownerless, and they therefore can be purchased from an Am Haaretz without concern during the Shvias year. That's the way you have to be very specific.
You're right.
Normally, when you buy from Am Haaretz, you have to be worried that maybe they've got it from someplace which is shomer, right? So normally, you have to be worried something is shomer from someone that's kosher. But these are never shomer, so you can buy it from anyone. That's the point, right? So you have this pegam, ribuzin, hashaitim, hachalaglulos, whatever these are, because of shavaharim, karpas shemanaharis, the gargar, all these things, shalafar, turman on mysis, they're part of mysis because, of course, anything which is hefgar is part of mysis. And lokach mekalam b'shvias, they can be bought from anyone, even on ma'aretz, she'en ki yotzman nishma, nothing is grown domestically. Okay? He brings a whole, in footnote 3.
Oh, even from an ma'aretz means certainly from...
Certainly, yeah. And he gives in three a whole introduction here. Whatever it says over here. Should we look at it quickly? As a rule, you can't purchase Shvias produce from protected field. Denying people access to the Shvias produce is forbidden. We don't wish to reward somebody who performs this unlawful act by purchasing his protected produce. Okay. And then, let's skip over that. Then, one is permitted, however, to purchase the Shvias produce from an unprotected field, unless the seller is an Am Haaretz, in which case, the purchase price may not exceed the amount needed to purchase three meals. Okay, this is a little detail which you wouldn't get otherwise. I didn't see it anywhere else. So, if you do buy from an Am Haaretz, and it's unprotected, you are limited by the amount to be three meals. We fear... What's going to happen if you give him more than three meals worth of money? He'll misuse the funds.
Buy Shvias.
And he'll save them after Shvias rather than spending them on food products before the beer deadline. Remember that we said last parak, if you buy something with money for Shvias, you buy Shvias produce, the money takes on the Kedusha Shvias.
This stuff is wild. It's still called Shvias.
I'm talking about in general over here. Okay. No, here I'm talking about Shvi'as produce.
No, it's in this case, it's, I thought it was.
And the Mishnah's hefker.
But it's not protected.
Yeah. Well, we're talking at the beginning of the Mishnah. We're talking about something which is all grows only in the wild and it's never grown domestically and it's hefker. That's why it's part from Meiser and therefore can be bought from anybody in Shvi'as.
Okay.
The question, of course, would be, does it have Kedusha Shvi'as? Because the fact is that it does grow. It did grow from the ground. All we're saying is that it's mutter to buy it. It's mutter to eat it. It's not an exeru svichin. Let's hold off on that for a minute, okay? Here we're talking about in general. So, right, this introduction is the purchase of Shvi'as produce in general. And it's purchased from an Am Haaretz in particular. So I'm up to the second paragraph. That you can buy from an Am Haaretz unprotected food as long as it's no more than three meals. Okay? Because an Haaretz is likely to behave in this manner, one who purchases a large amount of Shemitah produce from an Am Haaretz is providing him the means to sin. It's a problem of the even Loisita Mikshol. Therefore, it's Aser. One is permitted to provide Am Haaretz Shvi'as money sufficient for three meals, which is the number of meals you eat on Shabbos, and that's the way it goes the whole week. Okay. Our Mishnah deals with a case in which it is not known whether or not the produce came from a protected field. Ordinarily, one who wishes to buy from an Am Haaretz under these circumstances must assume the worst, that the Am Haaretz got this from a protected field, and therefore you cannot buy from him. However, it tells us that if the plant that is being sold by the Am Haaretz is one of those enumerated here, you can assume it comes from an unprotected field because no one grows this domestically. These species are likely abandoned as hefker, highly unlikely that he obtained them from protected. Therefore, you're permitted, provided the total purchase price does not exceed the amount needed to buy three meals. Again, okay, so you still have that three meal limits, yeah, it's a three meal limit. Okay, so that's an important point. That's why footnote 3 is so important because it tells you all this detail.
Based on anything in particular?
What's that?
It's a gezeira.
Yeah, we just explained the gezeira.
But the three meals.
The three meals are what Amaritz needs for Shabbos, and therefore we use that as a measure for all week long. Yeah. Okay. Now, as far as your question. Do the Svichim have Kedusha Shvi'as?
In some way.
I think they do. I don't see why they wouldn't. Why wouldn't they?
Because you're allowed to eat it.
Of course you're allowed to eat it. My question is the money that you give the Am Haaretz, I think it's Pasha. I think it's Pasha that does have Kedusha Shvi'as. Yeah. I'm going to assume it does. Okay. It doesn't say it does not have Kedusha Shvi'as. It says... is that you can buy it from an Am Haaretz and it's potter from Meiser because it's hefker and it grows in the wild, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have Kedusha Shvi'as. It still has Kedusha Shvi'as. The Mishnah now has a dispute. Rabbi Huda Omer, Safiche Chardol Mutarim. He has this thing about mustard. And he says that they are the svichim, the wild growths of mustard, that's mutter. It's not included in the gzera. Shal nefshu aleinoi ravero, they're not koshered. He holds that because it's not that much money to make. Okay, now.
So even though some people plant it, since it has that little value, it's considered as though it's not.
Yeah, let me just say one other thing over here that I didn't mention, and that's footnote 4. Footnote 4 in the second paragraph, he says that there's a dispute here. Remember, I told you that there's machlokes tanoim, whether Rabbi Kiva who holds svichim on issa d'oraisa, the chacham who holds issa d'rabbanan. So who's our Mishnah coming out like? There's a debate among the Rishonim as to which of these views is represented in our Mishnah, because each has a different interpretation of the discussion. The Rambam holds that the Mishnah's discussion follows the view of the sages. Other opinions are explained in the variant. Okay, this can get complicated, but the simple reading of the Mishnah will go that we're going not. I mean, the whole Masechta we've been going this way. We have not really been considering Rekiva in our discussions. Mostly it's been the Chacham that it's a Din Rabbanan. I'm going to continue to learn that way.
Yeah, okay. But when you say it's a Din Rabbanan, based on what Shanti was saying, of course it has a Din of Sefichin. That's the Yisid Rabbanan of Sefichin.
Yeah, correct.
Rabbi Akiva,
correct.
Sefichin has, is an Yisid Arasa of Shvius.
Right.
Yes.
That's the Chara, that's partial, yeah. Okay, so he holds, he writes in 5 that Rabbi Yehuda holds, mustard is readily available without being planted. There's no reason to fear. People will deliberately sow these plants and attempt to pass them off as tzvichim. Anyway, so therefore, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Shimon Aimer, he disagrees. Kos svachin mutarim. He holds all aftergrowths are permitted for consumption. Chutz mi svichei krov. Except for aftergrowths of cabbage, shane kiyotz mehem biyarkus hasoda, they're not among the vegetables of the field. There's different ways to learn this. It could be he holds that the cabbage is like a tree, has a look like a tree, or he holds that because cabbages grow so rapidly that people will be easily fooled by cabbage to look like, to say that, oh, this grew in the 6th year, even though it's early on in the 7th year, and you'd say, oh, how is it possible? Look how big it is. The answer is cabbage grows very quickly. So this is a Reb Shimon. So what does he say over here?
Is it Midaraisa, Midarabban, or
We're going to go now that he's also going to Rabbanan for now. Reb Shimon holds the rabbinic decree of Svichim was only regard to cabbage, not regard to other plants. He reasons aftergrowths which grow wild and untended can generally be distinguished from cultivated produce. In most cases, there's no reason to fear a person will claim aftergrowth status for cultivated plants. The one exception is cabbage, because it's impossible to distinguish between cultivated cabbage and svichim cabbage, so therefore they made a gezer d'rabbanan over there. And the Gemara, it says over here in footnote 5, it's footnote 6, that the Gemara in Pesachim has Reb Shimon saying the exact opposite, that all svichim are usur except for cabbage. So there's different
in the Bavli.
So the question is, so what's going on over here? The Yerushalmi is saying all svichim are mutarim except for cabbage, and the Bavli is saying all svichim are usur except for cabbage. So what's the answer? So this is what they say. They say that the Gemara explained that his ruling there in Pesachim is reflecting the view of Rabbi Akiva, who holds Svichim are Nesod Yoraisa. So, and from that pasuk, like we said, Hinlo Nizrav, Lo Nesof, that you see it doesn't apply to trees. And cabbage stalks are legally regarded as trees, so it's not included. So that would be the pshat in the Bavli, okay? Shimon has said that all Svichim are usur except for cabbage, because he's going like Rabbi Akiva, And trees are excluded, therefore the cabbage is like a tree. Okay. Now, Reb Shimon rules there that cabbage is entirely exempt from the law of Svichim. Reb Shimon in our ruling is going according to the Chachamim, right? And therefore the whole reasoning doesn't apply, and therefore he's going that it's mutarim. Whatever, I'm not sure exactly. It must be something about the thickness of the stalk. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know why it would be like a tree.
It is very thick.
Do you grow cabbage?
Yes.
And the Chachamim say, "Kol hasvachim asur, and all aftergrowths are forbidden." Meaning, they disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda said that mustard was excluded, and the Chachamim are saying, "No, all svachim are asur, even the mustard." All right, so that's going to be. There's a big footnote over here. We could spend a lot of time here, but we're gonna keep going. The interpretive variant. There's a whole other way to learn this. Should I go over any of this? I read this, so I don't have an erased card to say it over quickly. So let's just go on for now. You see, there's a whole different way of learning the Gemara. So now it says, Hapegim haribuzin, the rue and the sorrel and the asparagus and the chaluglos. So they weren't clear. What is chaluglos? What does that mean? They weren't sure what it means. So Amar Chagai, Serugin v'chaluglos, what's the meaning of these words? Umi gadol, b'chachmo u'b'shonim. The question, here's a question. Let's suppose you have somebody who is wise, and you have someone else who's not as wise, but he's older. So who do you give the kavod to? The person who's older, or the younger guy who has more wisdom? That's the question.
I'm not sure
exactly why this is being brought up here over here, but Atzrachas L'Chavayis. So this was a doubt to the people, the colleagues in the study hall. Amrin, they said, Nisuk v'neshali Elaine Deves Rebbe. Let's go and ask the house of Rebbe. So Salkon Mishol. So they left to go ask this question. V'yotzas Shivcha Mishal Beis Rebbe, and the Shivcha, the famous Shivcha Beis Rebbe, comes out. Ramlahani says, she says to them, Hikantzu Lashanim. She says, let those who have attained years enter first. She knows the protocol. Who goes first? The older people go first. She's telling them how to behave, right? Amen. So following the instructions, they said, Yeol Plan Kadmai. Let so-and-so go first. Obviously, whoever he was a little older, not as wise, right? Yeol Plan Kadmai. Let so-and-so go first. So they learned that age is honored above wisdom. Shorun Ololin Kitoin Kitoin. They began to enter intermittently. Amalahan, so these colleagues.
The older people?
The whole group. They were entering, it says here, they were entering in small groups at intervals, not all at once. They did this so the entry of many at once should not throw the household into disarray. Alternatively, they did not wish to be mistaken for the mere entourage of those who entered first. Therefore, they waited a moment and then made their entrances independently of the others. So in other words, if I would just let you go in first ahead of me, because you're older, and I were going right behind you, maybe you'd think I'm also
right
from the older people.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to. We had a spacing, to, you know, let the first group go in, and then we'll go in after that. Anyway, so they started going in intermittently on Milan. So the maidservant says to them, "What are you doing?" When they mad him the fussing surrogan, why are you coming in like that? So Chad Rebbe. One rabbi in the group, Havaton in Parpachinaya Begulsa, he was carrying bunches of purslane in his kerchief, Vinof Lumine, and they fell down. On Malay, she said to him, Rebbe, Rebbe, my, you know, Rabbi, Rabbi, Nispazu Chaluglosech, your chaluglos have been scattered on the floor. You know, don't lose them.
That's
so this whole story is just to show that the Shifcha knew what chaluglos were. And you see, she held they were purslane, whatever that is. I don't know what that is, but whatever it is.
And you can trust your judgment because she was passing the show.
The Marashah in Rosh Hashanah explains that the rabbis sometimes were not conversant with the language of Scripture, the vernacular, or even rabbinical terminology. However, in other words, like most yeshiva bachim, they were illiterate. However, the members of Rebbe's household, including the maidservant, they apparently knew what chaluglos meant. So that's the point here. That's right. Okay. The Gemara identifies another plant. Mahu karpas shubinaharis. What is that? So b'yazi brachanino amar pistulin. That's river crest, whatever it is. Okay, lamalotaninon. So now we have the following question. So there's three additional plants which were considered ownerless that are brought in the Mishnah in Maestras.
Besides
the ones that we mentioned in the beginning of our Mishnah, right? It says over here in 6 that there's a Mishnah in Maestras, Perek Gimel Mishnah Tess, that when pennyroyal, hyssop, and savory sprout on their own in a protected courtyard, they're subject to the laws of Miser. Which means that if they are in an unprotected courtyard, they're not subject to Miser. For then they are considered ownerless. Since these plants are presumed hefker, they share the law of our Mishnah and may be purchased from an Amaretz. The Gemara therefore is wondering, why aren't these numerated in our Mishnah? So basically, the Gemara is now quoting three examples of plants from Maestras, which should be in our Mishnah. Why are they not there? That's the question. Okay? Why aren't they with these? There were answers. This is a little difficult to read the next couple of lines. The Gemara is going to try to say two answers and kind of like say that those are not the right answers. It's a funny way. It's just be aware of what it's going to.
Don't think.
Shalom Tomer. Don't say that the reason is Eilu Nishmar B'Chatzer. The thieves are in a courtyard. Now, we have to realize here is there's a difference here between a courtyard and a garden. Okay. He explains it over here.
Courtyard is for decoration, a garden is for eating.
I'll put it this way: a courtyard. Let me go the other way. The garden you're planting, okay? And when you plant something, you have a specific intention for that thing that you're planting to grow. Now, if all of a sudden something wild shows up in your garden, you're not interested in that being there, because it's just gonna mess up what you're planting, because you're gonna crowd your plants. So that you're less interested in it if it's a garden. On the other hand, if it's growing in your courtyard, so there's some nice plants growing, you know, like what do I care if it's growing there? So it's more likely to be something you're not interested if it's a garden than if it's a courtyard. That's the rule to keep in mind here, okay? So it's like this. Okay, what I just told you is in the third paragraph of footnote 9. The reason uncultivated herbs in a protected courtyard are not presumed hefker, while those in a protected garden are hefker, is as follows. And then he says what I just told you. Okay? So, the Gemara says, Shaloi tamar eilu nishmar b'chatzer, don't say these plants, the pennyroyal, are protected in a courtyard, v'chayovim, they're not hefker, but when these plants of the Mishnah are protected in a courtyard, uptorn, and they are not subject to Meiser because they are hefker. That's not correct. In fact, this distinction is not accurate. Don't say that's the reason why they're not showing up in the Mishnah. Okay? Ela, elu ve'elu, both these and those, both the set from Maestras and the set from our Mishnah. Imhoi neshmarim b'chatzer, if they were protected in the courtyard, chayovim, they'd be chayiv. Ela neshmarim b'gino. If they're in a garden, chayovim, they're subject to the Maestras, but they're not hefker. It's not making sense over here really that much.
No, that's a second Imtem Salomer, the Eilu Nishmar Begina.
Right. So one second. We're trying to compare
the Chatzar
and the Gino, but we're also comparing the two sets of vegetables, right? The two sets of growth, Eilu ve'Eilu, these and those. So if they're guarded in the Chatzar, Chayavim, they would be Chayav.
Both groups.
Eilu Nishmarim Begina, similarly, one should not attribute their exclusion to the following difference. When these plants of the Mishnah, okay, that's what I missed. So when we say Eilu, we're not referring to both groups anymore. Eilu Nishmarim Begina means the ones that are in the Mishnah, if they're Nishmarim Begina Chayav, they would be Chayav. They would not be Kafka. For Eilu, but the other plants from the Mishnah and Maestras Nishmarim Begina Turim, then they would be Potter. They were not subject to Maaser because they are Hefker.
Then we can change their status.
So, in other words, some of these will be more Hefker than others. Maybe that's why they're not put together. So, that's also not accurate. Ella, Elu ve'Elu Nimshon Begina Paturim. In either case, if they're protected in the garden, they're Potter, like I just told you, because you're not interested in them and they're being in your garden because you're planting that. V'lumalotin el'Elin. So, now let's get back to, so we've written off these reasons. Why are they not in the Mishnah? The answer is, Hu Shaloi Taimar. So you should not say, Hover of Haminim Halolu, since most of these species, in other words, the ones in the Mishnah, Nizroim, they're sown by farmers, Ovar min ha'asur, and they come from protected crops that are forbidden to be purchased from the Amaretz. So that's why we should make a decree on the wild strains of these species, because a gzeira, because you don't know. Maybe these came from a watched group of stuff that was actually planted.
Only
going to the Mishnah. Oh, right, Yehu, and that's why they should be forbidden. Lefum kain sarf meimah mutarim. So that's why. In other words, you might think. But what I'm trying to say here is why it's in the Mishnah. Why the ones listed in the Mishnah? Because the ones in the Mishnah have an equivalent type of planting which farmers actually do cultivate. So you might think that, therefore, if you have the wild species that you have to be worried about, you're going to mix it up. So kamashal in the Mishnah that it's mutter, you don't have to worry about that. But the ones from Maestras, that was Dara Pashat that was mutter. You don't need a Mishnah to tell me that. That's the point. Okay? Right, and that's basically the end point. All the plants, so in the footnote 10, all the plants enumerated in the Mishnah have more prevalent counterparts that do not grow on their own. And they have to be sown and cultivated and are generally raised in protected fields. These cultivated strains may not be purchased from an Amaretz unless you know for certain that they did not come from a protected field. If their source is not known, you have to be concerned that it was from a plant forbidden source. Although the wild strains enumerated in the Mishnah do spread on their own and are neither cultivated nor protected, one might argue they too should not be purchased in the Amaretz. So the Mishnah has to therefore inform us that in fact the wild strains can be purchased from the Amaretz without concern. The three species of Maestras, by contrast, have no domesticated counterparts. And obviously then there's no need for the Mishnah to tell me explicitly that they be purchased, because why wouldn't they be able to be purchased? That's basically what he says over there. So okay? They're totally not domesticated. Now the question is, what is the law? Now, this is a very strange question. This needs explanation. The footnote 11, he discusses this. What does the Gemara mean here? What is the law regarding these plants? Should they be prohibited as svachim? So what do you mean, should they be prohibited as svachim?
Either they are.
We just said that you can buy them from Maaretz. Obviously, they're mutter to eat. So of course, there's no way to speak them over here. So what's the question of the Gemara? So, here we go. So, down at the bottom of the page, on the bottom of the first column, he brings, from the Gra. The Gra explains, there's an important difference between plants that sprout from seeds that fell the previous year's harvest and those that sprout on their own accord in places where there was no seeding ever done. Okay, so that's two different types of growth. Wild, you know, the wind blew seeds on its face. The decree of Svichin applies only to the farmer who plants that derive from the fallen seeds of last year's harvest. Plants that sprout in a place where they had never been cultivated on their own accord are not subject to the Svichin decree. So that's a very important yesod that he's laying down there. So the distinction, how these Svichin came about.
Which makes it even more complicated. How are you going to tell the difference?
The plants, okay. The plants in
so where they are.
The fruits. Yeah. How do you know? All right. So the plants enumerated in the Mishnah's first ruling are wild species, which generally sprout on their own accord without ever having been cultivated in the first place. Right? In that place. The Gemara recognizes these plants are not subject to the Svichin decree, but wonders whether the same holds true when the plants did not grow on their own, but sprouted from the seeds of the previous harvest. If these wild species are included in the decree of Svichim, then the plants that sprout from last year's seeds would be forbidden. If they're not included, then they would be mutter. That's basically, this is a lum de shaknech from the Vilna Gaon over here, how he learned. The Gemara is asking, the Gemara's kasha is very difficult. What do you mean, Ma'ashir Svachim Master? We just said that you could buy it from an Amaretz. Of course it's mutter. What's the question? The answer is that the Gra is saying that there's a distinction whether they grew wild or whether they are left over 6 year cultivated. Maybe the only heter of the Mishnah is when it grew completely wild and totally not cultivated at all. But if it was six-year produce that fell during the harvest and then subsequently grew, maybe there would be an esos fichim in that case anyway. So that's the Gemara's kasha according to the Gemara. The alternative shot is a lot easier.
Two alternatives.
One second.
At least two.
The third paragraph on the fourth paragraph.
Second column. Third paragraph.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's leave it at that. I don't want to overdo it over here. They're different mahalchim over here. They'll go with the gra. So, Maoshi who has certain mission swap. That's the question. Let's see. Nishmeinam in Hadok. Let's figure it out from this question. Rabbi Yehuda, Aimer, Sifchei Kano Mutar. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, right, he said that what? That the mustard seeds mutter. Shalon extra lay noiv raveri. You don't have to be chayshid that they're going to plant that because it's not worth it. Too cheap. So, lo amar ala shalon extra lay noiv raveri. The only reason that they're mutter is because they're not suspect. The elu, and the same is true of these plants in the resha of the Mishnah. Hoyol v'loy nechshetu aleihim oiv raveri yuhu mutarim. Basically, the Gemara is saying that, no, once we've stated that these three species, that are, the beginning of the Mishnah, those are not something we have to be chayshin for, and so across the board, they'll be mutter. That's basically what it's saying here. Now, this answer needs a little bit of explanation. This Gemara, again, is a little difficult. Because guess what? The Gemara just quoted Rabbi Yehuda as the proof to the answer to this Mishnah, to this question, right? And we proved it from Rabbi Yehuda Shita by mustard. But guess what? The Chachamim argued on Rabbi Yehuda. They said, Kos, Rachim, Asurin, including mustard. So how could the Gemara answer the question based on Rabbi Yehuda? That's a very basic question here in the Gemara. So in the brackets over here in footnote 3, he says the Gemara's proof is from the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda. The sages dispute Rabbi Yehuda. They hold mustard is also prohibited. So why did the Gemara only consider Rabbi Yehuda in its proof that it should be mutter? So Rashi Sirilo comes to the rescue. He said Rabbi Yehuda's view is accepted as halachically authoritative, and therefore the Gemara is justified in turning to his ruling to resolve the inquiry. So the first teretz he says is, the Gemara is bringing up, you could prove from this Gemara, we're basking like a Yehuda against the Chachamim. Obviously the Gemara is proving from Yehuda and not even bothering with the Chachamim. That's one mahalach. That's a difficult mahalach. I think it's unusual to see the Gemara do that. The Gemara is going to pass him against him in a second, but first. Alternatively, the sages include mustard in the Sinkum decree. They agree that generally the decree does not apply to a plant that people do not value. In other words, the basic premise of Rabbi Yehuda they're not disagreeing with. If people don't value something, then it wouldn't be included in Sinkum either. They included mustard in the decree only because it's a commonly cultivated plant. So since it's commonly cultivated, so therefore they felt it's included in Svichim. But if it's something which should not be commonly cultivated, they would agree. While uncultivated plants, such as those enumerated in the first section, they would agree that it does not apply. And therefore, the Gemara, according to this Mahalach, is going proving from Rabbi Yehuda, but at this level that we're discussing, there is no machlokas at all. Okay? Very important to note, Parshat Shat in the Gemara, looking at that footnote. Okay. An kedon zaro. He was talking about the seeds. What about Yaakov? What about the there's apparently some green leaves, I guess, that grow on the mustard plant that I guess are also edible. I'm not sure exactly. But that's the question. Are they also
the mustard plant, a little balls, that they see itself. It's like inside, you can crush it.
Right. But there are leaves, apparently, that might also be edible, I guess. So Gemara says, Esher Meimar, is it possible to say that the greens should not be Zar Mutter, that the seeds are Mutter, which are the main plant, main purpose of the plant? and Yarko lo kosher ken, and Yarko lo kosher ken, it should be mutter. In other words, that's a side, you know, agav type out product, byproduct of the plant. The main purpose of the plant is the seeds, obviously. So if the seeds are mutter, surely the green is also mutter. That's the Gemara's answer. A little shra havamina, what the havamina over here was. Okay. Now the Mishnah and the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Lechon Sages, disagreed regarding srichin of mustard. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Lachish have a bechikuk. He was in chikuk 6, it says the name of a place. That's what I thought. Chamson megagal in bahadein kardala. So he saw the people enjoying, they were eating the mustard. Nefalmine, he saw the mustard fall from a person eating it. Vuhulo nasavle, and the person did not trouble himself to retrieve it. This is like, you know, if you drop a penny, would you bend down to pick it up? This is what, you know, my wife would, and I wouldn't. Okay,
it's that's true. Right. You just can't throw it away.
So, okay, this may have been not on Shrius, first of all. That's a good point. That's an excellent point.
I thought that is
but that's an excellent point. But the person wouldn't bother retrieving it. Clearly, this person considered mustard to be of little or no value. Amar, so Rish Lakish said this, who's going to bring me after gross of mustard on the Shrius year? I know my Rikar Rabbi Yehuda. If someone would come and ask me a Shaila, from what I'm seeing here, right, I'm seeing that people are not makshavit, right? It's from the language. It's clear that this is not the Shvius year that this maisa happened. He's saying, from this that I see that the person is not makshavit, if someone were to come and ask me what's the din of svichim, of mustard seeds during a Shvius year, I would tell them the halakas are gonna be Yehuda, because I see that they're not makshavit at all to even bother bending down to pick it up. Okay? Again, the Gemara says another thing. Amar Rabba Bar Zavda, Hayri Reb Chunya Demin Chavron Deves Chavron. He was from Chavron in the Academy of Chavron. Kadod Rabbi Yehuda, he also passed like Rabbi Yehuda. So we have two Gemaras so far that passed like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's why, you know, that's why.
Only about mustard, though,
right? Yeah, but that we understand why Rash Cyril always has a very good taina. That's why the Gemara before, when it was Peshet Shaila, only quote Rabbi Yehuda, even though the Chacham Amar Chalek, because the Gemara knew that we passed the link Rabbi Yehuda based on the following up Gemaras over here.
But it would seem we only passed Rabbi Yehuda by mustard.
Yeah, but that's all we needed. That's how we proved it. That's how we answered the question that we asked before. Right? We wanted to know, right?
Wasn't he learning from mustard to the other plants?
Right.
Yeah.
You have to, right. So the question was, again, the question was, let's just work it out. I didn't work this through. So we were learning like the Gra, right? So the Gra learned that the question of the Gemara was a question of whether the svichim of those wild plants that were falling from the sixth year harvest and therefore grew in that way, are they mutter? That was the question of the Gemara, right? Or does it only apply to the wild stuff or even the stuff that fell as a result of the byproduct of the six-year harvest? That was where the Gemara learned the question. Okay, if that's the question, what's the answer? So in the Shemitah Mahadah, the Rabbi Yehuda says that mustard is mutter because it's l'nefshu du'alayim o'evri avera. So you see, anything which every avera are not choshen on is mutter. So therefore, these two won't be chayshin the avi avera on these. So apparently, the Gemara, I guess, is making the assumption that both wild and stuff that grew from the sixth year byproduct of the harvest, all that is included in what the avi avera were not chayshin on, and therefore it's all mutter. Okay, does that work?
Because it's not worth anything.
Correct. Okay. All Rabbi Yochanan, Udorash. So Rabbi Yochanan came to the study hall, Idashin, Karabonon Dehoho. Like the Rabbonon who assered, right?
Mustard.
Or Karabonon Tamon, and according with the rabbis of there, that's talking about. This is about Beis HaShanol de Biyontav. They're talking about there's a machlokes in the Gemara over the in the Gemara Beitza. The Gemara talks about the following case: if you have a Yom Tov, and then Shabbos, right? So if an egg is born, normally an egg is born on Yom Tov, so it's machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds its Osir, Beis Shammai holds its Mutter. Beis Hillel holds its Osir, and because it's whatever for the various reasons given for it in the Gemara Beitza, so there's six different reasons given over there. So the Gemara says, well, what happens if it was Friday Yom Tov and then Shabbos comes? What's the din? Is the egg going to become mutter on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, let's see over here. According to the sages, it says that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that will be permitted on the second day, because they hold it's shtei kedushas. You have the Yom Tov, which is one kedusha. Shabbos is a separate kedusha, and therefore the fact that the Beitza was muksa on Yom Tov has nothing to do with Shabbos. Shabbos will become mutter; it's a separate kedusha, and therefore even Beis Hillel will be maskim that it's mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds no, that the status of the egg on the second day is still subject to the same machlokas, and therefore, because he holds his kedusha achas, since it was muksa on day one, it remains muksa on day two on Shabbos as well, right? So we have, again, a machlokas tanoim. What is there still a machlokas when you have Yom Tov next to Shabbos? Is it shtei kedushas? That's the Chacham Shita. Is it kedusha achas? That's a Yehuda Shita. And make an afkamina whether the egg is mutter on Shabbos, right? Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan came in Paskin like the Chachamim over here, meaning the ones that say Sviche Chardol or Osir against Rabbi Yehuda, and he Paskin like the Chachamim over there, who hold what? That it's Shtei Kedushas, and therefore the Beitza is mutter, is muteras on Shabbos. We're just juxtaposing two Rabbanan. One Rabbanan is L'chumra, and one Rabbanan is L'kula. That's the only reason we're putting them together. Right? The Rabbanan over here is going to be a Chumra, that the Svichei Chardol Osir. The Rabbanan over there are a Kula, that the Beitza is Muteras on Shabbos. Yeah?
And the
Yochan is fasting like the Chacham, right? Okay. So now, after he paskened this, let's go on 70b2. So Rabbi Abba bar Zemina b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak, min koime ilein tate milaya, on account of these two rulings, nechas le Rabbi Yochanan mitziporin l'tveria. Rabbi Yochanan went down from Tzipori to Tveria. He left Tzipori. Amar, he said, ma atesun li hadein da yana sofa. Why have you brought upon me this elder judge? The I anos shore
who asar. Who's saying this?
So Bjarkin is speaking. Bjarkin is speaking to the public.
He's saying this in Tzipori?
Exactly where he's saying it exactly is not that important. Let's just focus on what he's trying to say, and then we'll decide whether it makes a difference where he said it. He said, why you bring upon me this elder judge? The anoshari v'hu asar. If I permit it, he prohibits it. Anoshari v'hu shari. And if I asar it, he's matter it. So in other words, like this. Let's look at the bottom foot. Footnote 9. Rabbi Yochanan is referring to an elder judge of Tzipori who opposed Rabbi Yochanan in the two psakim that he had just given about the Chachamim. Right? When Rabbi Yochanan permitted by ruling with the sages regarding the egg, so the elder prohibited it because he passed like a Yehuda against the Chachamim. And when he prohibited the mustard, then the elder permitted it by following the ruling of Yehuda. So therefore, what he did was he left town, I guess. Yeah. Right? I guess that's what he did. He left town. Let's see. Does the Pnei Maisha explain this? Because of these things, he didn't want to live in Tzipori. Rabbi Hunya, Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, as far as the Chadol is concerned, Parakam de Meitza Goras Mehedya Reb Chanina Hari Betziporay Besvicha Kadol Ubebeitza Reb Yehuda. So Reb Chanina apparently here he's giving us the Hahu Saba, the old man here of the Pnei Meisha, is explaining us who it was. Reb Yerkan Shul Bechal Yisrael Ubebeitza Lachetera. He'll come on. Vama Maza Shevi Uli Lohadein Dayonah Saba Shuhum Is Nagin Oisi. So therefore Holach Lo Mishom Shulolah Haksik Machloikas. He didn't want to be involved in Machloikas. I hold not like him. He holds the opposite of me. I'm going to move out of town. I'm getting out of town.
This was against the judge of Tzipori. Right. Jurisdiction.
Yeah, that's what I assume. I assume. He was the older person.
The elder of
the yeah. So that's basically. Now that's. I think that's the two blot.
Yeah.
Samuk Tesanayin. Rabbi say online. Are you okay with everything?
Well, we're in the middle of.
Yes. Thank you.
Come back tomorrow.